Welcome to the NPL Sunday Night Show, powered by the Brisbane Football Review.
Person there at the back post. She manufactures a ball back into the area, and it looks as though Emma Starr draws first blood in the grand final.
Hosted by Scott Owen.
Well, firstly, what a surprise Adam goes for a game at Moreton Bay.
And Adam Pace.
Yeah, wars will start over less.
Eastern Suburbs stand on Suncorp Stadium as champions. 2023 NPLW champions.
Your weekly NPL recap starts now.
Welcome back to the NPL Sunday show here on the Brisbane Football Review. It is Scott and Adam, as usual, with you every Sunday night. Adam, how are you?
I'm good, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, especially the long-suffering football mothers out there.
Absolutely, including my mother as well. And I do apologise for my voice. It's not the best time, but we will soldier on through. It's a very good football, though, over the Mother's Day long weekend, Adam. Well, not long weekend, just the weekend in general, but some very good football over the weekend.
It was, and again, I think we're getting to that stage in some of the competitions that the pack is starting to sort itself out, and the class is starting to rise from top, and a few other teams are starting to be exposed.
They are. I mean, we'll start with a couple of teams maybe in this competition as we start our weekly recap with the NPL Women's Competition. We'll start on Friday night, the game we covered in person, Adam. It was top of the table out there at Heath Park, Eastern Suburbs against Brisbane City, the reopening of the Heath Park playing surface. So there were some dignitaries at before the game, and a winning start back at home for East. Hakana Tachenko and Tamar Levin on the score sheet for East, and they thoroughly deserved their win, and it felt like they wanted to make a big statement. Hey, all the talk about Brisbane City, we're still the champions and we're still here.
I think that's exactly what it comes down to in the end, was that East, especially after the 3-3 draw in the first go around as well, the East certainly did lay down a mark in front of a very, very healthy crowd at Heath Park, and what was an important night for them being the official reopening of Heath Park after the redevelopment of the pitch over the summer. So a big night, a very, very good crowd, I think, surrounded by Female Football Week celebrations as well, ramping up, and a good win, a good show by East, who's shown that they closed the gap on Brisbane City at the top to 2 points.
It's the first time I've seen East play in person for quite a while, and seeing Tamar Levin in the midfield and Tegan Riding off the right-hand side, you can see the impact they've had even in the early stages, can't you?
Yeah, this is the team now that they really look like that. They've got plenty of weapons. They had plenty of weapons, you know, in that championship winning run last year. But two players at the level of Tamar Levin, who is probably one of the brightest prospects in the league at the moment. Very experienced for her age, playing in the A-League Women's, but also the all-time leading goal scorer, Tegan Riding, returning to East after six seasons at Lions. She certainly adds a very, very big threat attacking-wise for the East line. And while she didn't get on the score sheet, she certainly was causing plenty of trouble for the Brisbane City defence.
Certainly a couple of chances, and I think one of the goals did come from down that side. It's also having an impact, no doubt about that. And at the other end of the field, they never really gave City much of a chance, did they? What do you make of Brisbane City? Just seemed like they were slightly off their best, didn't it?
They did. I think they sorely missed Sian Fryer. They haven't really gone out and belted teams with her since she's back. She was missing a few other key players are out, but Steph Latham's having a bit of a drought at the moment, but also as well, you got to give credit to Holly Clark and Hakana Tachenko. They are two of the best centre backs in the league, and they really did not give Steph much of a chance, and that's certainly a feather in their cap.
So you can include the fullbacks in that as well. Very good defensive performance from East. They've cut the gap at the top, Adam, and a few weeks ago it looked like City were going to run away with the premiership, but the gap will go through the table shortly. The gap's closed right up, hasn't it?
It has. It's close at Rob, and as well, there's still plenty of opportunities for East. They'll meet at least one more time, and With the emergence of Lions as well and Gold Coast United, who are just being their typical consistent selves, these teams are going to take points off each other. And adding a premiership trophy to that that grand final winners trophy last season is certainly on. But I wouldn't write off Brisbane City either. It's one loss, even though it was against their nearest rivals, doesn't sort of spell disaster for them. They had their chances. They just couldn't execute. East lockdown defence, when we know what they're capable of, they just made it very difficult in their home patch, and it's gonna be a big game on the return leg.
It will. That'll be in a couple of months' time. Very big game back at Imperial Corp Stadium. We'll see what happens in that one. But after the game, we'll call with the head coach of East, Lachlan Young, to be able to say after we start to a 2-0 win at home, and we'll be back in a moment.
I was about Lachlan Young, coach of East 2-0 winner here, Lachlan, over Brisbane. He must be really pleased with the way your side performed out here tonight.
Yeah, look, definitely. I think in the first half there was a good set piece which Shani scored from, and then Tamar was quality in the midfield. So I felt we took our chances in the first half, and then second half we kind of grinded out the result, which was really positive from the team.
You would have known what to expect from Brisbane City, given how strong they've been this season. Was it almost a case of trying to put a marker down against them in this game here tonight?
Look, I think every game for us is very crucial to walking away with 3 points. The league's very strong this season, so City, yes, are a quality side, but we know we just have a game plan. We have to go and execute it every single week, and we walk away with the result.
First time I've spoken to you this season. Where do you rate your side in terms of performances compared to last year, the way you're tracking compared to last year?
Very good. I think the squad that we have assembled this season is outstanding. The players are really positive. There's a very good team culture. So like I said, it's just about them gelling, executing the game plan each week that we have, and we feel we'll get the result.
In terms of gelling, is that mainly in the front that we've had a couple of important attacking players, Kyle Hansen in the off-season and recently Tegan Writing? Is that where you're thinking if you can get the front though to gel, you can really be a very extremely dangerous side for the teams?
Yeah, definitely. I think Tegan and Kyle are both fantastic signings. A lot of experience and youth there. But I'd also, I think Tamar Levin is a fantastic signing in the midfield, coming from Raw. A lot of experience. I've worked with her previously at QAS, but another fantastic signing.
It's finally great to be back here at the newly renovated Heath Park. How did you think it went out there, the playing surface?
Oh, it's the best it's been in a couple of years. I really enjoy playing out there. It's fantastic to be back. It's been a tough pre-season, start of the season for us. We've been training and kind of playing away for a long time, but the girls have been outstanding through that. But it's nice to be back home.
Thank you to Lachlan for talking to us on Friday evening out there at Heath Park. Adam, we'll go through some of the other round 13 NPL women's matchups now, starting on Saturday evening out at Lions Stadium, Luxury Paint Stadium. Lions SC3, Mitchelton FC1, 2-0 Sammy Gunson, 1-0 Tui Dugan. Rachel Dudley got a goal back for Mitchelton. It just seems like that Lions team is just ticking over quite nicely, as we keep saying, and they added another returning star, if you like, during the week as well.
They did, and it's actually one that probably went very unheralded as far as what she did in Tiana Karambassis returning to Lions after a very, very successful stint at the semi-final, finishing Central Coast Mariners. And she will add a lot of depth and a lot of experience to an area where I think this Lions side this season has been vulnerable. That's probably in that defence. Whether she actually plays it out and out centre back, or she plays it in her more renowned number six role to defend, to screen those centre backs, she is going to make a massive difference to that side. And then it's the old firm back together of Tiana Taro O'Keefe and Mariel Hecker in advance of them. Lions, I think they are really building, and this is a very, very good win over Mitchelton. And at the pointy end, Amy Gunston just keeps on scoring. Looks like she's pretty much become the focal point of the attack. But that's also as well not to say that Meg McGallagher's also not that she's also heavily involved as well.
Absolutely. 14 goals for the year now for Amy Gunston, continuing on that fantastic form she's had, just only behind Steph Latham on the goal scoring charts in the NPL women's. The other games played over the weekend, Olympic won, Peninsula Power won. Ava Herron gave Olympic the early lead before Anna Hirakawa got Power back an equaliser in this game. And a very important result for both sides, but nothing really changes for either side on the back of that, does it?
Olympic nearly tried to seal us again with a very, very early, with a very, very early goal. I believe that this was in the third minute in their clash first time round. They scored after 59 seconds. So Olympic getting the early goal against Power, but Anna Hirakawa is having a great season for Power. With the reinforcements they've got, it's going to take some time for them to sort of to start putting it together. But once they do that, they'll also be a threat. Olympic, they need to start getting the wins, but it also has tightened up for those last two spots. Peninsula Power, Sunshine Coast Wanderers, and Olympic are all in that battle where they're very, very close to that relegation zone, be it through the playoff or automatic.
Absolutely. So all square at Goodwin Park, all square up at Ballinger Park as well between Sunshine Coast and South. Beck Orsi, NTL Danger on the score sheet for the home side. Abby Lloyd and Rosie Sutton for the visiting South. So good point at home, that first Sunshine Coast, Adam.
Yes, Nate, they also need a point as well. I mentioned that battle at the bottom end of the standings to do with relegation. And that Sunshine Coast, they probably needed 3 points, but they'll take a point against South, who have been very, 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 very good. But that point for South is probably maybe 2 points dropped, because it's as far as their top four aspirations. But still, then to get a point at Ballinger Park is always a good thing. You know, we know that Sunshine Coast Wanderers are a much stronger proposition up there at Budrum.
They most certainly are. They did come from a goal back, got 2-1 down South, you know, so a point away from home in those circumstances might not be the worst thing in the world. The final game of the round was played at the Nudgee Recreation Reserve between QAS and Gold Coast United. A 4-1 win for the Gold Coast in this game. Adam, 2 goals Bronte Rose, 1 for Zoe Corbett and 1 for Jade Lowe. Mayela Cedric got a late goal back for the QAS, but Gold Coast just keep on keeping on.
It's just their MO every season, that they're just consistent. They don't do anything flashy. This is a very, very good win against QAS. That they probably had too much firepower for the youngsters, but they're just going along as per normal. They're perennial finals participants, and they look well on track.
They most certainly do. So that's all the action on the field. So this is only where I would reach to the tables, but to spare you often into my sinus-impacted voice, I might get Adam through to the tables for a sec. Adam, what's the NPL table after round 13?
Well, it's not that you trust me with the ladder, but so the NPL women's standings is Brisbane City on top at 31, Eastern Suburbs on 29 second, and then Gold Coast United Lions on 25 each. South United on 22 in fifth place, and then Mitchelton on 17. In seventh is Peninsula Power on 9, alongside Sunshine Coast Wanderers on 9, Olympic on 8, and who are in the relegation drop zone at the moment, with QAS, who are exempt, on 3, bringing up the rear.
I mean, I might trust you more often to read through the tables in future weeks after that. Absolutely perfect. Now we'll go to round 10 NPL men's action. We'll start with the game which we covered on Saturday evening. We'll get to the Friday night game in a minute, but Peninsula Power 0, Mornington Excelsior 0. No goals in the game, Adam, in the derby, but some very, very good football from both sides. And it wasn't without trying from the Peninsula Power perspective in particular. They hit the woodwork twice, and they probably will feel like they could and should have won the game.
I think that from the I guess reactions post game, speaking to both the coach and the coaching staff, which we'll get to hear what they had to say shortly. But definitely the feeling would be Peninsula Power feel like that's 2 points dropped for them. They had the bulk of the better chances, and they hit the woodwork twice, a couple of times they probably should have scored. I think Mornington City probably had one or two clear cut chances, but again they seem to have suffered a little bit from the fact that they sort of, it's been a bit of a period of time between the top side have played sort of together. They hadn't played for 2 weeks. Yes, they did have a couple of cup games that they were very, very heavily rotated teams. So it may be that's probably speaks to why Moreton City probably didn't weren't at their best, but they would be very, very happy to go to AJ Kelly and get a point.
Absolutely. And it was a very niggly game, wasn't it, in this one? The Peninsula Power started off quite well. It looked like they could have scored early in the game and also late in the game, maybe first 5 to 10 minutes and last 5 to 10 minutes. But other than that, the rest of the game was very much in the midfield and a very niggly contest, wasn't it? Not a lot of open opportunities for either side other than early and late for the home team.
Two very, very good teams. And these two teams are going to fight out for finals. There's no question about that. And again, there's a bit of familiarity. Obviously, two local teams, local rivals. I wouldn't say that they're, you know, it's it is a local derby, but sort of not, certainly not as niggly as say some of the other, you know, derbies that are out there. But and Peninsula Power have got a very, very good record. But Moreton City, again, they're a team that, you know, just will not give up, and after sort of showing a bit of adversity, they came out and at least got a point. I think that it's put them in good stead. I think Power just need to find the goals. Now, everything else looks good. They're defending well. They're building up well. They're creating chances. Just that final touch, that final play, having that nutter goal scorer. They've got the names on paper, but they're just not having Jason McQuarrie especially, a player who scored 100 goals at this level, had a couple of golden chances which he spurned. So it's I don't know if it's a confidence thing once they figure it out, they're going to be very, very dangerous, because everything else is looking okay. It's almost like the Brisbane Roy A-League side. Yeah, for those more widely know, that's probably the frustration. It's probably similar, that they're building it well together and they're playing well. They're just not finishing off.
Yeah, that's been the problem, hasn't it? The top goal scorers of Peninsula Power this year, Josh Woolley and Ken Akamatsu, with just 3 goals each in the league, kind of tells you that they're not getting the goals from the number nines they've got in the team. It's probably an area they will look to strengthening, because it's the one thing missing at the moment. Every time we've seen Power play this year, they've played some really good stuff through the thirds, and they get to the front third, they create good openings. It's not quite taking them at this point in time. I'm sure it's frustrating for the entire coaching staff up there at AJ Kelly Park. And at the other end of the field, Moreton City only had that one chance, and it was really the chance that Will Gulo had in the last 5 minutes of the game. The ball fell to him in the second phase, and a great save from Jordan Thurtell to deny him. That could have been all 3 points for Moreton City, but they weren't overly creative either.
I think that's more of a credit to Peninsula Power. I think they did defend very, very well. Jose Hitchcock had a great game in that number six role. Really served, you know, got in between the lines. It cut off that supply route, which, you know, we see on a lot of occasions in other games that Moreton City have played, that how much freedom and space that Zach Kierpal and Marcus Walters have. But he was just basically just starved them of their ball. Like, the only real chance that, you know, Marcus Walters had was near at the end of the game, and they took a cynical slash saving experience foul from Josh Phelps. That probably saved them. But I think that they defended very well. Moreton City, I think they're very capable as well as hitting on the counter attack as well. And Zach Kipal and Marcus Walters, they can get space. That's when they're most dangerous. The thing is, with Peninsula Power, they just absolutely cut them off.
They did. And after the game, I caught up with the director of football, Peninsula Power, Ben Ryan. Adam caught up with the head coach of Moreton City, Excelsior, Cameron. Let's what both sides had to say after a stalemate at AJ Kelly Park on Saturday night.
Joined by the director of football here at Peninsula Park, Ben Ryan. Ben, nil all here against Moreton City, Excelsior. Very tight, tense game. You had plenty of chances in the game. We weren't able to take any, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it was tight. Games against Moreton City, as they're now called, always are, really. It's a local derby, so it's always keenly contested. But yeah, I think we've had a few chances that, you know, you'd want us to put away, really.
Yeah, there's plenty of niggle in the game, as you'd expect. But is it the chances in the front that to start falling through? Is that the biggest frustration at the moment? Because you're creating plenty of chances and playing some really good stuff. It's just not falling in the front third. You hit the post twice tonight, so it's not like you're not creating good chances, just not falling for it at the moment.
Yeah, because I think we're defending well. Again, I thought we defended really well tonight. I don't think, bar the last 10, they kind of started to change system and got in a bit. But up until that point, I thought we'd looked after them pretty well. So yeah, we need to start putting chances away. It's the difference between making finals and not making finals, winning leagues and not winning leagues. So we'll work on that.
And you'll see our pleased with the defensive, not just tonight, but the whole season defensively, it's been really strong for you.
Yeah, but we've got good players. So got a good goalkeeper. We've got two good goalkeepers actually. So yeah, we're happy defensively. We just need to tweak a couple of things, start putting chances away, and all of a sudden you start winning those games that you're drawing. You might be 6 points better off, you know.
I'm joined by Morton City head coach Cam Miller. Cam, a point here to nil-all draw against Peninsula Power. Your general thoughts on the game?
Look, I think it's probably a point that we've won tonight on a night where we were well below the mark in possession. And credit to Power came out and had the better of the game in the first half. And I thought we did well to stay in it till half time. We changed things a bit second half and we created some good chances to score. Unfortunate not to score, as were they at the other end, of course. But yeah, we'll probably take that point on a night where, like I said, we were well below the mark.
It's been 2 weeks since you've played a league game, had a cup game, a couple of cup games in that. Has that thrown the sort of the preparation, the sort of the momentum after coming out of that heartbreaking loss against Gold Coast Knights?
Yeah, absolutely, because you're playing a really, a high-level game against Gold Coast Knights, a fantastic game of football, and then the 2 weeks until tonight, it affects us, but in saying that, same for them, isn't it? So, is what it is. We've got to be able to adapt quicker because, we're still in the Kappa Pro Series, we're still going in the Australia Cup, so there's going to be plenty more of that.
As I was actually just going to sort of push out my next question, you're alive in all the Cups. Obviously, this is pretty much your top side, full strength tonight. Is there going to be a bit of rotation for the Pro Series as well and Australia Cup, especially against local team North Star in the Queensland Cup, Australia Cup qualifier?
Oh, look, we take the Australia Cup very seriously. Of course, we want to get back there this year. We want to go further than we did last year. So we'll be putting the best team on the pitch, every cup game we play. But yeah, obviously, Damo Anderson out tonight. We've still got Nick Bernardi and Joe Scott to return in the next couple of weeks. So we'll definitely be strengthening the squad in going into a busy period, which will help us.
Thank you there to Ben and Cam for talking to us on Saturday evening there. Adam, we'll move on to the rest of the round 10 action in the NPL competition. We'll go back 24 hours to the Friday night. What between Gold Coast Knights and Redlands United? Oh, no, it was Saturday, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Saturday.
I'm completely confused. Yes, it was Saturday afternoon down there at the Croatian Sports Centre. 4-1 win for Gold Coast Knights over Redlands. I'm so used to their games being on Friday night down there on the Gold Coast, because most of them have been. But two goals for Brad Inman, one for Austin Lulwick and one for Godfrey DeBelli. Late goal for Peter Clarkson for Redlands. And after a slip-up last weekend in the Cup, Knights are well and truly back, heading in the right direction.
I think that would be the desired reaction that Scott McDonald would have wanted after that defeat in the Cup. Again, there was in penalties, so perhaps it was more of a case of they need to be a bit more clinical up front, ensure that they didn't get in a situation like they allowed Sunshine Coast Wanderers to, but they got the job done pretty much in the first half. I think they might be a little bit disappointed about the late goal conceded, the late consolation goal. Peter Clarkson is sort of almost a one-man show at the moment as far as for Redlands at the moment. But it's 3 points for the defending treble winners, and they're building up a nice, handy little lead at the top of the standings.
Where would Redlands be without the goals from Peter Clarkson, who's been an absolute one-man wrecking ball up front for Redlands? They still, however, are chasing that first win of the league season. Also on Saturday night, Lions FC made the trek out to Carmichael Park to take on Wirren Wolves, second hosting third. And this was quite one-sided, this game here. Adam, 7-0 for Lions FC, 2 for Sean Carlos, 2 for Jack Skinner, Andy Pengelly, Alex Fechner and Joe Duckworth, all on the score sheet. A very, very comprehensive win for Lions FC, who tuned up quite nicely for that big matchup next week when they host Gold Coast Knights.
It's looking like a premiership-defining match next Saturday night at Luxury Paint Stadium. We'll more than likely be there for that.
People that no one's going to come and come after us.
Well, either way. They don't normally find us anyway when we go there. But on the other hand, Wynnum Wolves, that's they currently sit in third, but that's a 9-0, 7-0, and 4-0 loss to the teams around them in the top four. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very interesting that they've shown great form against the rest of the league, but three big teams around them, they've conceded a lot of goals against them, negative 12 goal difference they had. I will say that they were without three very, very of their top players in Luke Francis, Jacob Mudnich, and I'm trying to escape who the other one who's missing from their side. Anyway, they certainly have players out, and it will come to me shortly. But they're in the top four at the moment. But it's a bit of a concern that they are slipping a lot of goals, 20 goals to their top four rivals.
It does show that they maybe do have another step to take to challenge those top three teams around them that you mentioned. We'll go to the table in a moment, but they're still well and truly in a position where they've secured their safety, and they're also still a genuine chance to make finals at this point of the season. They're not out of play whatsoever. It's just against those top three teams that you mentioned, they might need to tighten it up just a little bit to try and get those games to be slightly more competitive in the second half of the season. As for the games played on Sunday, speaking of teams who need to tighten it up maybe just a little bit, Rochdale Rovers, Brisbane City with an 8-0 win at Underwood Park. Hat-trick for Kai Bolton, two goals for Will Dent, Noah Moroney, Malachi Loves-Smira and Solomon Waldemariam all on the score sheet for Brisbane City. A welcome return to form for Carl Dodd's side, but that's a tough loss at home, Adam.
It is. It's one thing to go on the road and get absolutely belted, but this is our home. At home, they had their special Mother's Day pink kit for it, so I don't know if that's going to elicit many good memories based on this. But I will say this about Brisbane City, that they were absolutely clinical in this game, and they had nine shots on target for 17 shots on goal. So, and the score to net eight goals from those nine shots on target. They had a very, very good night where it looks like that, you know, things went their way. So sometimes it's like that. They've struggled the last few weeks, but tonight it seemed to be, it all sort of, everything they touched turned to gold. And Kai Bolton with the hat-trick.
The kit did look good, though, for Rochdale Rovers. No doubt about that, too. And they may have good memories of the kit, but not so much of the actual game. Also played on Sunday at Nudges Recreation Reserve, Brisbane Roar Academy 1, Gold Coast United 1. Chris Lucas gave Gold Coast United the lead before Ivan Aussie pegged them back for the Brisbane Roar. So a point share between those two sides. And again, both sides stay roughly where they were in terms of pushing for top four and safety.
It is for young Roar, and they're just they're just racking up the points. They're not getting the wins, but they've shown that they're a tough team to beat. And I think that's just probably a nice thing that that Andre Bennett and Mitch Nichols are instilling into that group, is that while they may not have the firepower to match with some of the best teams, they're not giving up without a fight. And defensively, they're showing they're going very, very well. Ivan Aussie getting on the score sheet again. He's going to be crucial as well, with while their top players away at the moment because of the Raw senior to A-League team away on their PFA mandated leave. So, but I did see Roland Brownlee and Quinn McNichol were both on the bench for this game today. But for Gold Coast United, these are the games they probably need to win if they're going to be a top four hope. They're sitting in fifth at the moment, but a win today, it would put them right on the heels of Moreton City in fourth. Those two teams have got to meet very shortly as well. They've got a catch-up game, so that could be a top four shootout right there.
Very interesting one, because I thought the Raw youth players were all Raw A-League players were all on break as well, but in the starting lineup, Ryan Lethien, Taras Kamuka, and Aon Mayock, so they're all still there today. So when they go on break, it'll be interesting. But like you, I thought they'd already gone.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw the lineup. Especially especially Ryland and Quinn, I thought that definitely that they would be in the A-League team's play. And Tarasca Mulker as well, him starting. I don't know if that's I know we're probably touching on the other show's sort of issues, but yeah, maybe it's a sign of what his status is at the moment is with the club as far as his A-League contract goes. You know, because you're right, I think that we were always under the impression that about this time of year, this is where that young Royal side struggles, because it basically relying on their very young players, they're under 23s, who are really 17 years old, to fill in the gaps. But that's a good point against a good team, the Gold Coast United. And I think at the moment, they're 8 points clear of the relegation zone.
Yeah, and the final game of the round was played at Goodwin Park between Olympic and Sunshine Coast. A 2-0 win for the visiting Sunshine Coast here. Adam, goals from Kirito Higuchi and Max Brown. So very, very important win for Sunshine Coast, who look like they might have to really found something in the last week. We'll go through the pro series in a minute briefly, but winning the cup down on the Gold Coast, draw again, and now they beat Olympic. They've found some form.
They have. I think they're always threatening to do this. I think Max Brown is so crucial to this team. It really is. And that's not to say that some of the other players are not putting in, but it all seems to begin in with Max Brown, an important header which made it 2-0 from a Liam Fitzsimons corner. But yeah, Kirito Higuchi is not playing a bad cameo as well. He's popping up with a number of goals here and there. So they've put some space between them and the relegation zone at the moment. So I think they're breathing a little bit easier up at Budrum at the moment than they were maybe 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. So that's all the action on the field. And Adam, do you want to take us through the table for the week?
I will. The NPL men's standings, so Gold Coast Knights are on 27 points, 6 points clear of Lions on 21. Wynnum Wolves are third on 19, ahead of Moreton City Excelsior on 17. That rounds out the top four. Then Gold Coast United 15, Fincher Power 14, Brisbane Roar Academy 13, Brisbane City on 12, Sunshine Coast Wanderers in 9th on 10, and Olympic on 8 points. And then it is in 11th, Rochdale Rovers on 5, and Redlands United are bottom on 3. So a 3-point gap at the moment on the relegation zone between Olympic and Rochdale.
Very, very interesting stuff as we enter the final game of the first half of the season next weekend. So some time to still for those teams at the bottom to save themselves. We'll move on now briefly to the FQPL. Adam, we'll read to the results and get you to talk about the games that were interesting over the course of the week. And we'll start with the FQPL 1. Men's results are as follows. St. George Billabong 3, Eastern Suburbs 1, Brisbane Strikers 3, Caboolture 1, Ipswich 2, Broadbeach 1, Mitchelton 1, Southside Eagles 1, Logan Lightning 5, Moreton City 1, Capalabar 2, Southwest Queensland Thunder 0.
I think it's very, very hard. We want to discuss the big point in the FQPL 1 men's competition, the game on Friday night.
Let's touch on it briefly because others have gone through it extensively and I don't find it that interesting.
Yes. No, there's two parts to this. The one that St. George Willawong, that's a big win for them. Over East, who are they're in the top four, probably they are – they are two of the top teams in the league, and St. George Willawong just keep on winning. They rack up their 8th win in 10 games in their debut season in FQPL 1. They're at the top of the ladder, but it's hard to ignore the big flash point when it was at 1-1 and late in the game, and what seemed to be a penalty was denied because of an offside decision. I think if you for those who listen, who know sort of other sites, have certainly shed a very, very big light on that incident. I personally didn't think it was offside, but that's one man's opinion amongst the sea. And at the end of the day, the referees are the ones that have to make the decision. They have to live with it if they got it right or wrong. But after that incident, George Willawong went up the other end 2 minutes later and scored the go-ahead goal and then added a third. So well done to St. George. They are top of the league and they're going well at the moment.
Very good win for St. George, staying top of the league for another week. At the other end of the table, Very good win for Ipswich and Capalaba as they start to rack up the points, and a first point of the season for Mitchelton as well.
I think, yeah, they're trying hard, Mitchelton. I think, again, they're probably outclassed and outmatched, but I think the important thing for them is to at least to try and defend Terrible Park. And to at least, and they get their first point against Southside Eagles, who I think their form will say that they are not the same team as they are when they're at Memorial Park. And yeah, Mitchelton, they pick up their first point. And who knows? It's interesting how, you know, things can change very, very quickly. And you know, the belief of, you know, holding Southside Eagles to a 1-1 draw. See what happens next week.
Absolutely. And look, Ipswich FC and Andrew Catton's the perfect example, isn't it? They've made that. He's gone back in there, and Andy Catton, and he's got that Ipswich team playing very, very nicely. They moved well clear of the top two and potentially chasing those teams just above them.
Exactly. It's they do have a game in hand on Moreton City, Excelsior B, and
this is that Capalaba home game from round three, I think it was.
Yes, as well. Capalaba have got two games at the moment, so you can't really write them off. They had a nice win over South West Queensland Thunder this evening as well. So certainly this. Other than that, it's a split into two groups. Even Caboolture at the moment seem to be trading well. I know they did lose to Strikers, but that's I think a bit of a setback for them. But they are certainly in that midst of that race for, you know, third and fourth. But that's so tight between East in third and even Ipswich, who are down in 10th place. There's 6 points that covers that field, and a number of teams have got games in hand. And Capalaba have two games in hand.
Very, very interesting state of play in FQPL 1 men's. The results in FQPL 1 women's: Gold Coast Knights 4, South West Queensland Thunder 0, Capalaba 5, Broadbeach 1, North Lakes 4, Virginia 1, Moreton City 5, Ipswich Knights 3, and Robina and Logan was postponed. And due to that, Adam, Gold Coast Knights have finally moved to the top of the table, a position everybody thought they would have for the entire season. It's taken until the 11th of May for them to get there, but they're finally there.
And as much as I'd like to show optimism for everyone else, I don't think they're going to relinquish that. I think they've hit the front, and I think they'll just run away with it now as they prepare for games on multiple competitions, of still in the cup, still in the Kappa Pro Series as well, and they've only four goals up in Toowoomba. So that Toowoomba team is not a bad team. But I think the thing is, like, and unfortunately it's been a pattern with this league, is that there's always one team that seems to just make everyone else look a lot ordinary. But looking away from that, I thought North Lakes win tonight over Virginia Knight, which is a game that we covered on our social platforms live. And there's a lot to like about that North Lakes team at the moment. And while Gold Coast Knights are probably, you know, justifiably be hogging the headlines, That race for that second playoff spot, that's going to be intriguing. Logan, they've done nothing wrong so far. Robina were idle this week, but they've shown they can score plenty of goals. Even Capalaba, a very, very good win. They put five on Broadbeach, who are really a disappointment so far this season for Broadbeach, mainly because I tipped them to actually win the league, and they're not really showing that at the moment. And Moreton City and Ipswich Knights, that was a wild old Sunday night bash at Eric Evans Oval.
It's very much a top five, bottom five moment. FQPL one women's, isn't it? Top five, you mentioned, look like they're going quite nice. The other five, maybe with a bit of room to grow. Looking quickly at FQPL 2, the results played over the weekend: Maroochydore 5, Pine Hills 3, Turinga 2, South 1, Holland Park 3, North Lakes 0, Sanford 5, Ipswich 1, and Bayside North Star, Magic Grange both postponed. So just four games played in Holland Park, Adam. They stay top for yet another week.
Yeah, the Holland Park, they continue to go along their merry way, and they look like they're the team beating the league at the moment.
Absolutely. And the results in round round 5 of the FQPL 2 Women's, Gap 1, Annerley 1, Sanford 5, Pine Hills 2, Grains Thistle 4, Mount Gravatt 2, Caboolture 2, Springfield 0. And we're, at the time of recording, North Brisbane and UQ result is unknown. So a good win there for Grange at home in a game which was streamed on social media platforms over the weekend. So good to see some FQPL 2 games on available for people to watch.
Yeah, it was part of the football, female football week celebrations. We're seeing a few more games in on stream, and seeing Grange and Mount Gravatt in action. It's a rare treat that we saw last year. It was Northlakes and Ipswich Knights that were the feature game from FUPL to women's last year. So yeah, it seems to be the annual tradition of having one live stream game. And to be honest, I wish there was more, especially given the results that we can't find.
It would be helpful, but also be great to see that competition shown a little bit more. We'll quickly now touch on the Pro Series, Adam, the results. We won't go through the results. We'll go through the teams that qualified after the games played midweek. In Pool A, it was already confirmed Moreton City and Wynnum were through. In Pool B, Sunshine Coast Wanderers secured that spot in Pool B behind Gold Coast Knights with a draw down there on the Gold Coast. In Pool C, it was decided already Brisbane City and Peninsula Power through. And in Pool D, Gold Coast United went up to Caboolture and picked up a win, and they've gone through with Lions FC. So 8 teams from the NPL are through to the quarterfinals. Adam, and probably not too many surprises.
No surprises. And we've been led to believe unofficially that the quarterfinal matchups, the crossover between Pools A and Pool B, on one side, and Pools C and D. So a few teams getting really acquainted with each other yet again. I speak of in that bottom half of the draw, Peninsula Power and Lions will do battle again. Moreton City and Sunshine Coast Wanderers in Pool A. Yes, go ahead.
I'll go through the full fixtures and you can talk about them if you like. So the quarterfinals will be Moreton City Excelsior hosting Sunshine Coast Wanderers. Gold Coast Knights will host Wynnum Wolves. Brisbane City will play host to Gold Coast United, and Lions SC will host Peninsula Power. So a lot of matchups we've already seen plenty of times before, but does set up some very interesting matches in the business end of this competition.
It does, and as I said, Lions and Peninsula Power will be absolutely getting sick of each other by now, and I dare say that perhaps there might be one or two more meetings down the road. They've still got one more. They've got a league game 2 weeks' time, I do believe. 2 weeks' time. It is, round 12 that they meet again, and then potentially this Pro Series, and we'll see what happens as far as the final series go. It would be nice to have at least one FQPL team make it, but then again, this competition is still only its second year. It's still hard to know. And then the expectation is that the NPL teams should dominate, even if they are sometimes rotating their teams to give some younger players an opportunity, which I think that's one of the redeeming factors of this competition, that we are starting to see some young players get an opportunity and they go on and get a start in the league. As I said, more football is always good.
So the quarterfinals will take place in a couple of weeks' time, I believe. I'm not exactly sure when that is, but some very, very interesting matchups there in the men's Pro Series. Now, before we wrap up, Adam, go through our performers of the week. What do you got for us this week?
I did have a few choices, actually, but I have to sort of...
What do you think about it? I'll take the low-hanging fruit, Kai Bolton hat-trick. Also, Laura Seville hat-trick.
Yeah, well, of course that you would go for the easy hat-tricks, but I'm going to go something very, very obscure, especially for me, and done a bit of research, but It comes in the form from last night at Luxury Paint Stadium in the earlier game in the Lions and 23s. And before the week goes to Chloe Kurzweil with an absolute amazing free kick about 35 yards out. And while we always do celebrate free kicks, the fact that it actually was got on camera as well by, I assume, was her mum, I think that was a very, very well taken free kick from 30 yards out. So, and I know Chloe is one of our OG followers on Instagram as well. So I've got to show some love in that way. So Chloe, you get our performer of the week.
You only haven't got me because I've taken your trick, let's be honest.
Yeah, I know. That's
we find things everywhere here at the Brisbane Football Review. Adam, no, thanks for joining me on the show this week. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. I say we try to go away from the obvious from time to time, especially those who do follow us on our social media. So again, we'd love to spread the knowledge, spread the word. But thanks God. Thank you and good night.
We'll be back next week to recap all the men's, women's, NPL and FQPL action. We'll talk to you all again then.